south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. I can pick and choose from virtually hundreds of emails to tell stories and such. And sometimes emails remind me of things I should have talked about a long time ago. Like this one, for example, from a previous seminar attendee. And I'll paraphrase this as usual. He says, basically, Johnny, what about bringing a medical or chiropractic practice down to Latin America, a big enough city where there might be a need for such things? Or better yet, in tourist areas where you got a lot of gringos and upscale Latins who might appreciate a no-appointment walk-in kind of service because they're on vacation doing somewhat crazy things or things they wouldn't otherwise do at home, like, for example, whitewater rafting, skiing, paragliding, volcano climbing, hiking, diving, ziplining, snorkeling, partying, drinking, etc., etc. I know for a fact people get themselves in all kinds of medical difficulties when they're on vacation. Been there myself. And of course, doing a lot of walking and strenuous things they might not be doing otherwise because they're on vacation. That's an invitation to sprained ankles, bumps and bruises, and torn ligaments, etc. That really is a great idea for on the gringo tourist trail. But here's the problem. In any country, including the U.S., you can't practice medicine or any kind of medical specialty unless you pass their version of the medical boards. And down here, they're in Spanish. Up north, they're in English. Which is why, even if someone has a medical specialty from, let's say, Germany, and he comes to the States, he can't practice medicine unless he takes and passes the U.S. medical boards. So if you're a medical professional up in the States, you can come down to Latin America, but you'll have to take the medical boards with the rest of the medical students who are taking them that year, which means you're really going to have to know your Spanish, and not just kitchen Spanish either. Which is kind of funny because, you see, Latin countries will let Doctors Without Borders and all kinds of medical do-gooders and charity groups come in. Yep, foreign doctors can come in and do surgeries, even very extensive and complicated surgeries. But do note that almost all of those surgeries are done on indigenous people way out in the boonies. Yeah, they can come in with all their equipment and go nuts as long as they do it for free. However, if you want to get paid for that kind of work, you have to pass the local boards in Spanish. Isn't that ironic? And on that subject, people are always saying, Johnny, you know, you talk about first world medical care and how there are great first world hospitals and doctors and clinics in Latin America. Then how come all these do-gooder Doctors Without Border guys are flying into Latin America? Yep, you'll often pick up a Latin paper and see these doctors and their photo ops with local scumbag politicians when they arrive. So that's why people say, Johnny, how could that possibly be when you're telling us all the time there's first world medical and dental care, etc.? In fact, you say it's available practically everywhere. Well, there's two points here. Good first world medical care costs money down here in Latin America, too. Of course, it's about a quarter to a fifth of what it costs up in the States. But you see, if 70 to 80% of the Latin American population only makes around $300 to $400 a month, even if it's $25 for a visit to a medical specialist, that's about 25% or more of the average guy's weekly income. And point number two is when nurses and doctors and medical professionals graduate from school down here, they don't want to be paid in tortillas and driveway chickens. They want cash money because they got to pay their bills too, so they rarely set up their practices way out in the boonies, where clients and patients have little real dough on hand, but a lot of tomatoes, tortillas, and driveway chickens. Which is why when you see the occasional blurb in the newspaper and photo op that Doctors Without Borders are in town, well, they're not really in town. They're setting up shop way out in the boonies. So then what about the people in the big cities that don't have money for first world care? Well, they've got the crappy national health. So when you get boots on the ground down here, you'll see that the big cities have crap clinics and national health satellites all over the place, almost always in very trashy neighborhoods. Why? Well, because that's where the pool of patients are coming from. And generally, you know, when you're within a couple of blocks of one of those national health care hospitals or clinics, for one, you'll always be in a crappy, scruffy neighborhood. Then expect to see a kind of a low-grade chaos with people mulling around, standing in front of what looks like depressing Soviet-era buildings. Another telltale sign? Look for that giant chicken bus staging ground right in front of the entrance. Because you see, the vast majority of people going to the national healthcare hospitals do not own cars themselves. They're too poor. Oh, and I forgot to mention, it always smells like urine within a block or two of those places. Because middle and lower middle class male Latins of all ages just whip it out whenever they feel the urge. But you knew that already, right? Again, those are not the hospitals and clinics we ever want to go to. By the way, here's another little something I remembered while reading this email. It has to do with how to very cheaply and easily advertise a new brick-and-mortar business. When you start a new business, one of the hardest things is to get your name out there quickly. You've got to let as many people as possible know who you are, what you do, and where you're located. So what's the best way to advertise your new business if your client base is going to be local? Now, you might be thinking, well, go to the internet. Go to that website, the Latin version of Craigslist, OLX.com, and advertise there. It's free. Well, that's great if you've got a high-tech or high-end service you're trying to sell. Why? Because you have to remember, only about 15 to 20% of Latin Americans are on the internet 24/7. Oh, yes, they've all got smart or somewhat smartphones, because they're really cheap down here now. In fact, I've seen some with decent internet connections for as cheap as 25 or 30 bucks. So yes, you could say that 80 to 90% of Latins have the capability of being on the internet, but they're not going on the internet to do their shopping or search out places of business because, well, those average Latins who make $300 to $400 a month or less have quickly found out that hooking up to the internet with their little somewhat smartphones is like feeding a one-armed bandit. So basically, they only use the internet for social media and things like WhatsApp. Believe me, 80% of Latin Americans are not downloading YouTube on their somewhat smartphones, nor are they downloading elephantine Kardashian body parts. So yes, people selectively use the internet like WhatsApp, but they're not using it all the time. So technically, 80% of Latin America is on the internet, but not 24/7. So bottom line, unless your business is targeting very high-end clients, throwing all your advertising bucks or pesos or lempiras or colognes into internet promotion might not be the best way to go. Though you have to have some internet presence or you'll wither and die on the vine no matter what business you have. So anyway, if you have a brick and mortar business and your clients are basically local, one of the best cheap and dirty ways to advertise is, now don't laugh, hiring adolescents or teenage kids to hand out flyers on the streets. Yeah, I know, it's so 1940s and 50s, but down here it's done all the time. In fact, Latin America is a land of handbill and flyer overkill. In fact, at some busy corners, you'll see people walking around as human billboards. Though I'm not recommending you advertise like that. Anyway, just know there's an unlimited supply of kids that'll take $5 or $10 a day to hand out as many hundreds or even thousands of business flyers that you can supply. And you know, because Latins are so polite, when a kid hands a Latin person one of those things, they almost always take it and shove it in their pocket or stick it on the dashboard of their car. Seems gringos like you and me are the only ones who look at those flyers as pure garbage and part of the problem. However, Latins are so used to being handed those things, they gladly accept them and even say thanks. Now, I don't know what it's like in the States, but down here, the moment you pull into a parking lot at a big strip mall or some kind of upscale business or shopping area, you're bound to run into three or four kids handing out that stuff, and when you get back to your car, you'll find a bunch of that crap loaded under your windshield wiper, too. So for us gringos, it's a two-edged sword. We hate that stuff, but it's good advertising. And here's a tip, you even get a better response if you hire a smiling young adolescent girl to hand that crap out. After all, it is a very macho society down here. Now, do note the average Latin person does not look down on a so-called menial job like that. I mean, how many people up in the States would pass out flyers for a living? Adolescent kids up in the States would probably laugh in your face if you suggested such a thing, even if you paid them $50 a day. Though I imagine some up there in Cleveland and Chicago would take the dough and then shove the flyers in the nearest dumpster and say they handed them out. So up in the States, it's considered low class and embarrassing, but down here, it's both a job and a pleasant social undertaking. So you'll see the people handing out those things are smiling, they're having fun, and interacting with the people they're handing the flyers to. It's kind of strange and weirdly uplifting to see that go down, because it could never happen in the States. Like I've said so many times before, it's like the 60s back up in Chicago or Cleveland. Back then, a job was a job. And adolescent kids especially feel lucky to have one and make some dough. Anyway, speaking of adolescents and young adults handing out throwaway junk for a living, could you imagine going into a Kohl's or a Kroger or a Walmart or Costco up in the States, being approached by a young, good-looking woman in a slinky, skin-tight bodysuit uniform, and her day job is to hand out samples of cookies, soft drinks, donuts, or Cheetos, or any number of other things. Not to mention, sometimes they'll even give you a shot of booze or a cup of beer. I'm talking about inside local supermarkets, even Costco's and Walmart's. Now, let me ask you this. Up in the States, how much would you have to pay an 18 to 25-year-old woman to put on a skin-tight, slinky outfit and hand out Cheeto samples all day in little cupcake tins? Most girls would think you were nuts and say it was way too embarrassing and their parents probably wouldn't let them do it anyway. And believe me, these girls are not selected for their intelligence. They're selected for their smile and their good looks. Now, I'm not saying they're dumb. They're not. I'm just saying that doesn't enter into the equation. And I'll tell you this. Many, many fresh green gringos have said to me, "Johnny, you won't believe what just happened to me in Walmart." To which I always say, "You're not in Kansas anymore, Dorothy. This is Latin America. Get used to it." And then they say, "This could never happen in the States. Why, you'd have the feminists and the ACLU picketing out in the parking lot and there'd be class action lawsuits." And of course, it's all voluntary. You know, these girls aren't forced into taking jobs like that. But remember, you won't find a single guy handing out samples. They're all nice-looking women. And get this, they're not doing it just for the money. It's also about getting a little bit of extra attention from guys walking by and the fact that a good 95% of these women come from middle and lower middle class backgrounds. They're the beautiful girl in the crummy neighborhood. And thus, it's one of the ways for them to have a chance at meeting an upscale guy and possibly hooking up in a love then romance situation, leading to marriage. That's what they're mostly hoping for. And what's the definition of an upscale guy? Pretty much a guy with a car, you know, to save him from the fate of being groped and harassed in the chicken bus every day. And how do I know that? Well, it's common knowledge down here, and no one looks down on it at all. I mean, come on, everyone in a poor, scruffy barrio is looking to get a leg up. And if you happen to have the good luck to be born the neighborhood beauty, many times that's the only trait you have that can get you out of that rut. Nothing wrong with that, and no one looks down on that situation at all. In fact, when you come down here and get boots on the ground, especially off the gringo tourist trail, I really do suggest you go into a Walmart or a Costco or one of the local big supermarket chains, especially on weekends. That's when the beautiful sample ladies are on duty. By the way, these ladies are called impulsadoras. Impulsadoras. And if you notice, that word's got the English word impulse in it, like impulse buying, which pretty much explains everything. In fact, the whole marketing idea behind that is to get a beautiful young girl to persuade you into an impulse buy. Most guys will fall for it every time, but that is guys who aren't walking with their girlfriend or wife through the store. Too much eye contact and you're going to hear about it when you get home. Yep, it's basic caveman logic. Now, if that doesn't give you an insight into the macho society down here, I don't know what will. Oh, and what do these young impulsadores make? Oh, minimum wage here in Latin America, which is around $300 to $350 bucks a month. Just one thing, these ladies are not hired by the grocery store, the supermarket chain, Walmart, Costco, whatever. They work for a modeling or impulsadora agency. They supply the girls and the product companies do the hiring. So one week they could be pushing Cheetos, and next week Famous Amos cookies or Banana Boat suntan lotion. So the thing is, you won't see the same girls for more than a couple weeks at a time because they rotate through all the supermarkets. And note, there'll be twice as many of them on weekends because those are the busy shopping days. So there are full and part-time impulsadores. By the way, that's how I found out that Glade is Glade air freshener and Ajax is, guess what? Ajax dishwashing soap. How about that? So yes, you can improve your Spanish by talking to those impulsadora ladies, because they will talk to you. Gotta love it down here in Latin America, huh? Oh, and you might be wondering, how many of these pretty impulsadora ladies actually hook the guy of their dreams, you know, a guy with a car? Well, unfortunately, not many. They usually end up with a poor, handsome slug from the barrio anyway. Why? Because there's just not that many upscale, unmarried guys around who have cars. That said, can all you gringo lonely hearts out there see the possibilities? Enough said about that. Oh, and by the way, changing gears a bit here. Just noticed in Yahoo News today, they're talking about 4,000 people in Spain contaminated with fecal matter in their bottled water. Isn't that cool? So how did it get in the water? Well, who knows? But I can tell you this. I don't trust any bottled water anywhere. And that's why when you come here to Latin America, you should filter your own. That's always recommended. Oh, and by the way, there's a surprise for everyone that's coming down to my July 2016 Latin Insider Seminar, because we're doing a boots-on-the-ground trip to a nothing less than spectacular water purification company. No, it's not bottled water. It's individual units based on a rather astounding concept and astounding business plan, too. You'll see when you get here. I know it sounds pedestrian, but you'll be talking about it for months and months afterward. I can guarantee you that. By the way, as of the date this show is going out, that would be Friday the 29th, you've only got about 3 days left to get the $500 early bird discount to come to my July 2016 seminar. So definitely it's time to get off the fence, get on down here, get that plan B going. Because, you know, the way things are going up in the States, there's a very good chance your plan B will become your plan A shortly. You know what they say, you have to buy a ticket to win the lottery. So just go to www.thenewexpat.com, click on Johnny's 2016 seminar link for all the information and sign-up details. Enough said about that. Oh, and just a tip. When you're traveling, skip the ice cubes unless you make those cubes yourself from your own purified water. Now let's talk about something that's really un-PC, really controversial. It tends to generate a lot of emails and piss off the 1.5 plus million gringos and expats living in Mexico. Now, I know after being there many times myself and talking to a lot of gringos and expats, they don't want to admit that they made a big mistake by going to Mexico and buying land or leasing or renting or starting a business, whatever. Though, of course, it did seem like a good idea at the time. However, the fact is, probably 98% of the people who are living or who have invested in Mexico never really put their boots on the ground in other Latin countries to check those out first. And it's human nature to put on a happy face when things really aren't that good. Then again, we all know people that are very honest and tell it just like it is all the time. Sometimes, in fact, they're so honest you just want to punch them in the face. That said, now, I'd really like you to rent this new movie or CD. It's called Sicario. Sicario. S-I-C-A-R-I-O. It's a brand new movie and a huge eye-opener for anyone considering moving to Mexico or doing business there. Again, it's Sicario, S-I-C-A-R-I-O. And no, it's not a subtitled Spanish movie, nor is it a Spanish-speaking movie at all. It's a U.S. production, a Hollywood movie, filmed in Mexico. If you look it up, you'll find it nearly didn't get made. People didn't want it out there. And it stars Emily Blunt, an Academy Award winner, and Josh Brolin. He's good, too. And I'll tell you, it's about what's happening in Mexico right now. The behind-the-scenes stuff that our own government doesn't want us to know. So what else is new, huh? And after you see it, if you think, well, it's just happening in certain areas around Mexico or in border towns, I happen to have read an interview from a couple of retired DEA agents who were commenting on the movie, saying it's much, much worse than that in all of working-class Mexico. So, for all you people living, working, playing in Mexico or owning businesses, whatever, I know many, many tens of thousands of you live in a nice, protected, isolated, little gringified island of a city or town. Well, you know, that's just fine as long as you stay there and don't leave, because I'll tell you what. The fact is, and you know this well, whether you're willing to admit it or not, you don't want to get in your car and drive from your nice, little, safe, isolated, little island of a community to the next town that might be 50 or 100 kilometers away. You know what I'm talking about. So, that said, do rent this movie. By the way, I just picked it up down here in Central America for around $1. From the pirate video stand guys, of course. Everything's pirate down here. So all of you out there who are saying, Johnny, aren't you violating international property rights legislation? Well, a better question would be, you try to find me a DVD vendor who doesn't sell pirated stuff. Then again, there's always Netflix. Yep, if you have internet, you can get Netflix down here, but those movies aren't first run and brand new. Now, about that intellectual property thing. Now that pirate DVD sellers are everywhere, practically on every second or third street corner, the legitimate DVD sellers who used to be around some years ago, even selling through Walmart and Blockbuster, etc., just don't exist anymore. They could never make a profit charging $1 or $2 for a DVD. In fact, it seems like every single gas station you pull up to, there's a little guy with a mochila, that's a backpack, sitting on the front step, and as soon as you pull up, he runs over to your car and whips out about 100 CDs and shoves them in your face. And of course, seeing you're a gringo, he'll always double the going price. He'll say $2, and you'll say $1. Then he'll say, no, I can't do that. How about $1.50? Then you'll say, no deal, I'll just drive on up to the next gas station, and he'll give them to me for $1. Then he'll say, okay, this time I'll sell them for a buck a piece. But really, it's every time. You just have to work the deal like that. Oh, and you should know that the pirates have really perfected their DVDs. A few years back, they were kind of crappy. Sometimes they skipped and had defects in them. But now, they've really got it down. So there's no complaints in quality, not like the old days. And if you can believe it, these little guys on the street corner even give a money-back guarantee. And yes, the same guy occupies the same space every day, so you can track him down if you want to. Oh, and by the way, the other day when I was buying that Sicario DVD from one of those little guys at a gas station, a Toyota Hilux police cruiser pulled up, four guys jumped out. Nope, it was no bust. They were out to buy some movies, too. That's how little people think of pirated movies down here. In fact, almost no one knows that these movies are pirated anyway. For them, it always is and always was the way they buy movies. Oh, and by the way, I stuck around to see what kind of DVDs those cops were buying from that little guy. They bought a couple of skanky martial arts movies and a couple of even skankier porn DVDs. Surely an evidence-gathering mission, huh? Oh, and while there, I watched the cops flip a coin to see who was going to pay for those videos. Yes, just like in the first world, it's a common practice to flip a coin when you're deciding on something. Though, there is a slight difference in the Latin version. They don't call heads heads. They call them caras, which is faces. And they don't call tails tails either. They call them escudos, which is shields, as in the shield that a Roman gladiator or conquistador might use. And why is that? Well, because almost all Latin American coins have a shield on the tail side, an escudo. So if you're flipping a coin with a Latin, they'll say caras o escudos, meaning faces or shields. Just a little inside tip there. Oh, and by the way, since we're talking about movies and pirated DVDs, etc., here's an email that might interest you. This is from a gringo who calls himself Don Goya. Hey, Johnny. I've scattershot your archives and really enjoyed the content and break out in laughter in coffee shops sometimes, knowing exactly what you're talking about. I'm definitely not a newbie to the Latin culture, having boots on the ground, but not an expert either. Let's just say I've been slightly wounded with two Latin divorces under my belt. Now, I own some property in Mexico. Traveled a bit and am living the vida loca as a waspy kind of guy. And guess what? I'm a fellow Chi-Town survivor who navigated the real estate and film production community there for many years. Chicago, the city that works, supposedly, is not much different than Latin America, you know. But as you say, I digress. Here's one for your, quote, marketing in Latin America stories. I actually worked on the original El Cartel movie with Mauricio Islas and José Luis Franco in 2006. And I befriended the producers who were Americans. One of these guys later became my business partner, which is a soap opera in itself. But long story short, the Mexican affiliate to the major U.S. distributor for this film received the revenue from this unexpected hit. Now, not surprisingly, they conveniently went bankrupt right before the distribution of the payments. And funny enough, the narco-slash-pirate media channels were the ones who put way more money into advertising with their own billboards, etc. Now, the producers actually end up using that same artwork for the U.S. movie version since they were basically locked out of their own project and never saw the profits. Gotta love that Latin free market, right? And how about this for a reality show plot line? You film your way down from Denver to Nogales, Mexico, through the Sonora Desert, on to San Carlos with a group of Mexican telenovela film stars, with a film crew and the federales in pursuit, of course, the requisite females and an oversupply of enhancement drugs. Then he says, I really love Matt Damon and Ben Affleck's Project Greenlight thing. You remember that series on HBO maybe 10 years ago? Well, I'd like to show both of them our Project Redlight pilot. How about that for a behind-the-scenes reality show? Saludos, Johnny. Don Goya. Now, just a short comment on that email. You know, Mexico's the country that produces by far the most Latin media entertainment. And 99.9% of it is pure crap and they don't know it because, well, it's all about the details, right? The standards, by the way, are miserably low. And they can be because they're playing to a mostly uneducated public. Sound familiar? Now, where have I heard that before? Anyway, the fact is the whole Latin TV and movie industry are the most unrepentant gringo wannabes you'll ever see. Oh, they have all the latest and greatest technical equipment, all right, but they're nothing but rip-off copycats. It's even worse with Latin rock, but we won't get into that. However, there's a very small group of pretty good Latin filmmakers who all seem to be children of the rich. Or they're second-generation kids born in the U.S. who went to Hollywood film schools, etc., and learned the trade the way gringos learned it. And a lot of them have gone back to Mexico City because they can't cut a break in the States. I mean, come on. Hollywood has never been until very recently open to Latins on the production and behind the camera. I know, some Latin directors have won Academy Awards just recently, but that's just kind of a fluke. Anyway, a lot of these Latino guys who get their diplomas at film schools up in the States can't break into Hollywood, so they rush back down to Mexico, and they have a sort of gringo advantage by proxy going for them. And with an audience of a half a billion easy-to-please Latins with low standards, there is a lot of work in the Mexican movie industry if you've got it in. Anyway, any gringo I've ever known who's been in the Latin TV, movie, or radio business have stories about being ripped off. I'm including myself in that group. That said, if you think there's some shady deals going down in the movie and TV businesses up in Hollywood, down here in Latin America, it's like the Wild West. In fact, it can be a very dangerous business to be in because, like our friend Don Goya says, a lot of the production money and marketing money comes from narcos. And believe it or not, the desire to be famous in TV and in the movies here in Latin America is on steroids compared to people up in the States, if you can believe that. That said, over the years, I've met a lot of Latin actors, producers, would-be directors and assistants, etc., who work virtually for free just to get some face time on camera or a small mention in the credits. So, bottom line, a lot of these sharp-looking men and women you see in the media are still living at home with mommy and daddy. Or were spoiled little rich kids to begin with. In fact, I can tell you, in big markets in Latin America, some of the top salaries they pay for newscasters you won't believe. Try $1,000 to $2,000 a month, though you do get a free wardrobe out of it. Yet these guys and gals are local celebrities and household names in big markets. And by the way, all the media people want to learn English too, because everyone's ultimate fantasy is to get a job in the media up in the USA, even though it's the impossible dream, really. And it doesn't matter that for all the thousands of Latins in the media and the movies, only a handful of non-US-born Latins have ever broken into first-tier Hollywood and made it. Selma Hayek and Sofia Vergara, maybe? Even Antonio Banderas is originally from Spain, which is a first-world country. Kinda. Or let's just say a failed first-world country.
South of the border.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want me to help you sort out your own Latin American plans, schedule a one-on-one consult with me. Just send an email and let me know at theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.